This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Nima Ramani, president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers Association. Corey Richens, the mother who wrote the children's book about grief, now charged with the murder of her husband. The search engine history is one of the interesting things that we've learned about in the last week or so. Lots of very incriminating searches. Is this something that you often see with individuals who have committed a crime? They seem to have forgotten how search engine history works and how damning that can possibly be.
Oh, it is. And I've talked, how over the years, the sort of the balance of power has shifted to the prosecution, right? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the ways where technology just helps the state. Here you have obviously her text messages, right? Asking for the Michael Jackson dose, yeah. Fentanyl, even though I think it was
propofol.
Yeah, it was propofol, of course. Obviously, different case, propofol with Conrad Murray. But I mean, she needs to get her her drugs straight. Obviously, we're dealing with fentanyl here. But yeah, I mean, the search history is just such a powerful tool for law enforcement right now. It's really going to change the game.
Is this, I'm surprised by the amount of people who really damned themselves with their search history. We saw quite a bit in the Brian Walsh case. Obviously, that one's still going to trial, but oh my God, what a search history. This one,
how to dismember your spouse.
Yeah, exactly. This one, not quite there, but still a lot of things there. And it could be interpreted one way or the other if you really look at some of this, if you're somewhat paranoid, if you are innocent of being under federal investigation, you might look up signs of being under federal investigation, whether or not you committed the crime or not. But there's a lot of things in here that really don't look very good. Will these sort of things, the sort of evidence that comes from search engine history, is this becoming more valuable than even like DNA evidence or other pieces of evidence in cases, because it almost gets into the mind, or it really does get into the mind of the accused and their stream of thought at a given specific point after a crime has been committed?
Of course, Tony, like you said, I mean, the DNA may put you at the scene of the crime, but this gets inside the defendant's head. This shows the knowledge. This is the intent, right? Mm-hmm. She's talking about, federal investigation, luxury prison, different types of drugs. I mean, jurors are going to be like, why are you searching for this if you're innocent, right? This mm-hmm. is not something that, an innocent grieving mother who's, writing a children's book about losing a loved one is going to be searching for. So really, really powerful stuff, and something that's very difficult for the defense to negate in these types of cases.
Something I've noticed in the last year or so, and I'm curious to get your outlook on this, there's been a lot of murderers that have been either members of or former members, and maybe in a new sect group such as Lori Vallow Daybell, of the LDS Church, of the Mormon Church. This is another one of them. Corey Richens was a member. Is there something to this? Is there something that some in that religion and that belief system that somehow enables people to go from, I guess, somewhat healthy, normal thinking to somewhat fantastical thinking in terms of I'm in the right here and I have an ability and I should remove this person from my life and I feel justified in doing it? Because this is a decision that, if you're going to kill somebody and if you have any sort of faith or religion in your life, I think you would probably go through that a little bit to determine whether or not that's something you want to do. There seems to be, and I've even talked with FBI agents about this, an disproportionate amount of LDS members that have been charged with extreme crimes like this.
Yeah, and it seems to be a lot of the LDS women, right? Going back to Jodi Arias, of course, I haven't really thought about it, whether there's a causal connection or sort of a correlation or a coincidence in members of the Mormon faith, engaging in murders. That's a first for me, Tony. I got to sit back and think, maybe folks that are you know, more prone to believe in some, you know, I don't want to criticize anyone's religious belief.
But I'm not trying
I'm just saying, obviously, you know, I'm a South Park fan, and there's folks that have poked fun at the, you know, Mormon church and because of some of their beliefs that, you know, maybe hard to come to rational terms with. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's something that I can say, well, with any kind of reasonable certainty,
sure,
is going to make someone more likely a murderer. But
yeah,
you know, yeah. But I would say, you know, maybe think twice before you date a Mormon woman. I think the men are okay, but you know,
oh no, we have James Craig. Remember, James Craig is the dentist who
annihilated. Oh yes, of
so
course.
It seems to know no bounds, and you have Chad Daybell too. You know,
Of course, Chad Daybell. Yeah.
So I don't necessarily.
Although he's a leader, so I don't know if he's necessarily LDS or he's got his own thing going.
They broke off of LDS and kind of created their own fundamental version of it, if you will. It's just an interesting correlation that I'm scared to see the next handful that come down the line. And I'm even wondering about another case right now of an individual who has 8 children. I'm wondering, what do we know about this person so far, if it's going to add to that list?
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience.